morning, Discovery. How are all of you this morning? Good. Okay. Well, as we prepare for Easter, one of the things that I've been like so enamored with is just the resurrection of Jesus and how, you know, we're introducing a new song this morning, but it talks and testifies about the resurrection and the power that Jesus did on that cross. And I love that Jesus can bring us new life, and that's offered to us. He can bring us new spiritual life, new emotional health, new physical health, and that is all through his son and his sacrifice. So as we stand and get ready to worship this morning, feel free to posture yourselves in that space of worship as we welcome the living God this morning. I just want to pray over us as we begin, okay? Father God, we thank you so much for that sacrifice that you paid for us so long ago. That God, even now you can offer us new life, that you can offer us new freedom, and the things that we've done in the past, our sins, our wrongdoings, God, you can make and change that. You can change us into a new creation, and that the old things have passed. And Jesus, we thank you and we worship you this morning. We welcome you in this place, and we just ask that you would restore our beauty of the gospel to us this morning. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. And I search the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures of faith are never enough. You came along and put me back together. Now every desire is now satisfied. Oh, here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better.
Highways, you're the only one who can. turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing, yes, God, better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Oh, nothing is better than you. We sing.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the
Amen. You guys go ahead and have a seat. Man, that was good. He is the only one who can. My name's Bobby, associate pastor here at Discovery Church. Are you glad you're here this morning? Man, I tell you what, we are so glad you're here. Pastor John is out today. He's somewhere in Iowa. I'm not sure what he's doing. I texted him this morning and told him to say hello to the cornfields for me. So you can text him as well. But glad that he could be away and get some family time. And excited to still be able to gather and worship with you. There's a lot going on in April, okay? So I want you to be ready. If you have your bulletin, would you open it up? And there's a piece of paper in there that tells you a lot about what's going on in April. Make yourself aware of that. But also in your bulletin is a connection card. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I want everybody to pull this out. Can everybody find it together? This is just like a great picture of unity as a church as we all pull this out and then hold it up so I know you got it. Pull it out, hold it up, pull it out, hold it up. There we go. Awesome. Now, put it down, but don't put it away. No matter if this is your first time with us today or if this is your 100th time, would you fill this out? It'll just, especially if you've been with us 100 times, it'll just make our guests today feel a little bit more comfortable filling it out. Just put your name, best contact information, and then throughout the service, if there's a way that we can follow up with you, help you in your relationship with Christ, put that on this connection card. You can ask for more information about groups. You can ask for more information about what it means to follow Jesus, or you can just put prayer requests on here, but we would love for you to fill this out. And then when you leave here today, stop off at Connection Point, especially guests. If you're a guest with us, stop at Connection Point, talk with Stephanie or Barb. You can drop your connection card in the box, but you can also chat a little bit about how to get connected with Discovery Church. And if you're a longtime part of Discovery Church, stop at Connection Point too for two reasons. One, there are resources there for you to help you grow. There's actually a basket there under one of those tables where every week we want you to drop in some food for Lincoln High School students. There's a list out there. You can just take a picture of the list of what items they need right now. That will change over time. And just bring what you can back so we can bless students here at Lincoln High School. But there's tons out there. So stop at Connection Point. We would love for you to do that. Now, some of what's going on. Right now we're in the midst of 21 days of Yeah, prayer and fasting. And so we took signups last week, filled up last week, but there are still open spots. So you can stop at Connection Point. I think that maybe Marissa will be out there. Yes, Marissa's waving her hand. Everybody look at her right there. And she can help you sign up for a day. We just want to pray together as a church up until Easter. You can fast on your day. You can fast in various ways. You'll get an email that gives you some encouragements of how to do that. But we just really want to together declare our dependence on the Father for what he is doing in this world. Amen? And one of the ways we do that is coming together in prayer. So please be aware of that. The other thing I want to point out is we have a special guest that we're going to meet at the end of our gathering today. His name is William, and he serves with one of our partners, Open Doors, and specifically works with some of the Centers of Hope that we support in Iraq. So you'll want to stay and hear about that. You'll want to stay around and get some snacks and talk with him after the service to find out how the money that you give is helping get the gospel to places that are experiencing high levels of persecution. So that's a heavy thing, but at the same time, we're excited and honored to get to learn more about that today. So it should be really, really insightful for us today. Other than that, I just want to invite you to worship this morning. That really is why we're here every Sunday, is just to take our eyes and fix them together as one body on Jesus. That's what we're excited to do. So if you need to sit for a minute during this next song and just kind of prepare your heart, confess sin to the Father, and then stand and sing, feel freedom to do that. If your heart is prepared, man, jump up and sing, raise your hands, but that's what we're here for this morning. Does that sound like a plan? All right, let me read a scripture and then I'll invite you to stand. It's probably a familiar scripture to most of you from Philippians chapter 2. And this is what Paul writes, Philippians chapter 2. He says, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Of God the Father. Stand with me as we pray. Father, what a beautiful name it is, the name of your Son, Jesus. And as we declare his name, would you work in our hearts? Give somebody in this room belief for the first time today. Father, for those of us who have been following you for a long time, but maybe we're discouraged, would you do a work of encouragement, rekindle our belief this morning? But God, I pray that together this morning with one voice, we would lift high the saving, beautiful name of Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful that is the truth, that there is great power in your name. There is great healing in your name, Jesus. And with the name of Jesus, all darkness has to flee. All darkness has to move. God, we are so humbled that we get to proclaim that name. We are so humbled that we get to proclaim that you have no rival on earth or in heaven. That you have no rival, Jesus. And there is no one but you that can deliver us from ourselves. That can save us, that can see us and know us with purity and so much love. And so, God, we sing that you are worthy. And we ask that you would be enthroned upon our praises upon 1,000 generations, Jesus.
Yeah.
Father God, it is so relatively easy, Lord, to sing those words. Day and night day, let incense arise, Lord. But we confess that I confess that I too often struggle to even think about living those things out, to let my day and night, everyday life be lived in a way that is worshipful, that not only reflects who I am in Christ, but proclaims what you have done for us. God, would you help us? Would you just help us? God, help us to not feel discouraged or condemned, but empowered and excited, Father, to live for you every day. Thank you for this time that we have together this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. Well, it is so good to be with you this morning. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 is where we're going to be in a few minutes. And if you're a guest with us this morning, I just want to talk to you for a second, especially if this is your first or second time, if you're new to church, please just know that we know and understand that it is a pretty big risk for you to set foot in a place like this, surrounded by a bunch of Christians that kind of know the rules and the routine, and we just want to put you at ease, that you don't have to know where 1 John is, okay? you can learn that. If you can't learn that in a church gathering, when can you learn it, right? So one of the ways you can do that is if you have a phone or a tablet, just download the YouVersion app, and you can actually go to the events tab on that and search for Discovery Community Church. And the scriptures are in there, the notes are in there, and YouVersion is a Bible itself. So if that's helpful to you, turn there. And then you can also kind of look back at the notes as we go throughout the week. So 1 John chapter 5, be finding that. We'll get there in a few moments. But first, I want to take you back to a scene that may or may not be familiar to you. You don't need to turn there in the Bible. But Matthew chapter 16, it's an interaction between Jesus and his disciples. Specifically, he's talking to the apostle Peter, and he asks him a question. And I want you to remember as we kind of put ourselves in this scene that even though he's talking to the apostle Peter, the other disciples were there. So that means John, who wrote 1 John, who wrote the Gospel of John, who we've been listening to in this study of 1 John, he was there. He was listening to this interaction. He was a part of these things. And in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus looks Peter in the face and he says, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" And do you remember how Peter replied? He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Church, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. We must believe that. What does Christ mean? Anybody know? Messiah? That's good. What does Messiah mean? Yes, tricky. We use some of these words. Christ means anointed one of God, the anointed one, the chosen one of God. Chosen for what? Chosen to come and save God's people from their sin. But let me ask you a question. This goes for if you're a longtime believer, if you're just exploring the faith. If that's the claim that the Bible makes, if that's the claim that Jesus made was to be the Christ, if that's the profession that Peter and John made that Jesus, you are the Christ, how do we know? How do we know that Jesus is the Christ? How do we know he's the anointed one of God? How do we know that what he came to do did in fact provide salvation to those who believe? That's what we're going to explore today. How do we know Jesus is in fact the Christ? So look down at 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, and let's read together. John writes, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ," there's that term, that title, "everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now skip down to verse 5. "Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ." Yeah, there's that title again. "He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. Okay, so that's kind of weird verses, right? There are three that testify, the spirit, the water, and the blood. So what we're going to do this morning, I need you to use your imagination. Can you use your imagination? I need you to picture that we're in a courtroom. Okay, we're in a courtroom together, and the Apostle John is the lawyer. He's the lawyer that is presenting a case, and you and I are the jury. We are the ones that are sitting in the jury box, charged to listen to the testimony of the witness the lawyer brings and determine whether that evidence, whether that testimony is true. And right here in 1 John, we're told that there are three witnesses. You remember who they are? The Spirit, the water, and the blood. Weird witnesses, right? And today we're going to hear from witness number one, the Spirit. That's going to be our focus today, witness number one, the Spirit. Now, how many of you grew up singing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know? Do you guys know? Raise your hand if you know that song. Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So. Classic song, right? And I'm so thankful for that song and what it teaches. But today we're going to unpack the truth that it actually takes more, hear me really clearly here, it actually takes more than just reading the Bible for us to believe the truths of the Bible. Let that sink in. It actually takes more than just reading the Bible for us to believe the truths of the Bible. How do I know that? Well, think about it. You grew up with somebody that read the same Bible, right, that you did, that went to the same church, that heard the same sermons, and for some reason, you are a believer today, and they are not. How did that happen? Why are you believing and somebody else isn't or hasn't yet? That's what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to make a little adjustment to the Jesus Love Me song. I don't think I'm going to sing it. I sang last time and that didn't go over very well, I didn't feel. So we're going to, just to make the point of today's message, because today's message is a little bit, it's pretty deep. And so if you feel like you're getting a little bit lost in the message, I hope you're not. But if you do, I want you to anchor to this kind of bottom line point. And it's kind of a play on the Jesus Love Me song. We're going to say it like this. Jesus is the Christ we know, for the Spirit tells us so. Let me say that one more time. Sing it. I'm not singing it. Jesus is the Christ we know. Maybe by the end I'll sing it. For the Spirit tells us so. So today we're going to see that without the Holy Spirit, this is really key, without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to believe. Without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to believe. So we're starting a new series today. This is actually our last series in 1 John. It's going to take us up and through Easter. And the title of it's really simple and straightforward. The title of our series is Jesus. Isn't that a good title? Jesus is the title of our series. But the question that we're going to ask today is, how do we know that he is who he says he is? How do we know that he is the Christ? But before we answer that question, we need to acknowledge what's at stake in that claim of Jesus to be the Christ. So look back down at 1 John 5:1. This is what's at stake. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Verse 4, look at verse 4. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. So the stakes are huge. If Jesus is who he claims to be and we can find his claims credible, if we determine to believe that he is who he says he is, eternity is at stake, right? Our position, our placement in the family of God, our ability to overcome the world is at stake. And the reason that matters, this is what John would say, the Apostle John, the reason that matters is that we have a problem. The reason that we even need a Christ, the reason that we even need to overcome the world is that we have a problem. This is not going to be a trick question. What is our problem? Sin, right? Sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, he covered that. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So God is perfect light and we have darkness because of our sin. And 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So this meshing of light and darkness can't happen. We cannot overcome our sin problem on our own. But John would also tell us and has told us and will continue to tell us that God has a solution. We call it the gospel. And put in three words, the gospel is this promise that God saves sinners. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. And then right back to 1 John 5:4, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. 1 John, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So the stakes are high, guys, for this question of, is Jesus who he says he is, and how do we know? And it requires faith, but we can't have faith apart from the working of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're going to dive into today. So if you acknowledge the problem that you are a sinner, and I would guess that all of us on some level would acknowledge that we are sinners, and we can get ourselves to acknowledge that if God is real, a solution to that problem is required, then the next question is, how do we know if Jesus is that solution? How can we know that Jesus is the Christ? And that's, for that, we're going to enter back into our courtroom, okay? And we're going to hear from the first witness. So let's reread 1 John chapter 5, 7 and 8. Look back down at verse 7. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, that's the one we're listening to today, the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. They're in agreement. Jump down to verse 11 of chapter 5. Verse 11, this is the testimony. So this is what he's testifying to. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So it couldn't be any more clear, right? Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. But again, how do we know? Jesus is the Christ we know, for the Spirit tells us so. So there's some working of the Spirit that we can recognize that helps us believe that Jesus is Christ. So today we're going to do some theology. Y'all ready to do some theology? If that word intimidates you, you're not alone, but it shouldn't intimidate you. Theology simply means the study of God. So that just means we're going to do what we try to do every Sunday, and we're going to gaze at God together for a few moments. And we're specifically going to look at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and that's huge. We're just going to look at one aspect of what the Holy Spirit does, and it's another big term. It's called regeneration. So if you're taking notes, write that down. We're looking at the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at this thing called regeneration. Now, a word of caution before we dive in. I don't want you to leave here today smarter. Well, maybe I do want you to leave, just smarter. I don't want you to leave here just with more head knowledge. Knowledge alone is not our goal. If I could look you all in the eyes, I need you to know this. I have been with God this week praying for you. I've been praying that God would do a regenerating, and we'll talk about that more, work in the hearts of people in this room this morning. I've been praying that you wouldn't just walk out of here with more head knowledge, but you would walk out of here transformed. Transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says that he wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So knowledge matters. We have to gain knowledge, but knowledge in itself doesn't save. The Bible tells us that knowledge puffs up, right? Love builds up, but it also says that we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we have to walk into this with the right perspective. And so I want us to be prepared for that. But if we can gain this knowledge by the grace of God, and if we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds, I think, according to Romans 12, 2, we will be unable to understand for the first time or understand afresh and anew the will of God, what God is doing and how he is doing it. Specifically, in answer to our question, how do we know that Jesus is the Christ? So here's what we're just going to ask two questions today. Number one, how do we know the Spirit's testimony is credible? How do we know that the Spirit's testimony, because remember, we're in our courtroom, you're in the jury box, right? You're on jury duty. The Spirit has been called as the first witness. How do we know that the Spirit's testimony is credible? Well, for that, I want to introduce you to a new tool for discipleship. Specifically, it's really useful if you're a new believer, if your parents trying to disciple your kids. It's called the New City Catechism. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of a catechism, right? Okay, we don't always use catechisms, but if you just go on any app store in your phone and search for the New City Catechism, it's a free app. And I grew up Baptist. I'm a lifelong Baptist, and so we didn't do formal catechisms, but I have a secret to confess to you today. I'm a pastor and I'm a nerd, so that goes first. But I have this secret desire to be a Presbyterian, right? And I can't get on board with infant baptism. That's the one thing that holds me back. But I want to be a Presbyterian. Part of it is because their commitments to catechisms. They use what's known as the Westminster Catechism. There's a short version and a long version. And this New City Catechism is just kind of an updated, modernized version of that. And basically all a catechism is, it's a series of questions and answers that help give us a framework for what we believe. It doesn't give us belief, but it helps gives us a scriptural framework through a series of questions and answers on what we believe. And my wife and I have been using the New City Catechism with our kids for years now, and it's incredibly helpful to them and to me in answering things like this. And so I want to point you to, we're just going to look at two questions in the catechism today, but the first one is question number 36. So if you decide to download the app, question 36 says this. The question is, what do we believe about the Holy Spirit? What do we believe about the Holy Spirit? And the answer is really straightforward, that he is God, co-eternal with the Father and the Son. What do we believe about the Holy Spirit? That he is God, co-eternal with the Father and the Son. Now that question and answer, and even you memorizing it, doesn't mean you believe it, right? But it's developing a framework that we believe the Holy Spirit is God. You've heard of the Trinity, that he is just as God as Jesus and the Father, that he's co-eternal, that there has never been a point where the Holy Spirit didn't exist. Talk about making your mind hurt this morning, right? No beginning. He's as omniscient as the Father. He's as omnipresent as the Father. He knows all things. He's all powerful. And because he is God, we can trust him. We can trust him because he is God. And the second question is where we're going to spend a little bit more time this morning. So how does the Holy Spirit present his testimony to us? How does the Holy Spirit testify? Here's the answer. The Holy Spirit testifies, here's our big word, by regenerating our hearts so that we are able to believe. Let me say that again. How does the Holy Spirit testify? He does something in our hearts. Our big fancy words is regeneration. He regenerates our hearts so that we are able to believe. Let me ask you a question. Is faith a gift or a choice? You don't have to answer that out loud, but just write it down. Think about it. Is faith a gift or a choice? Now, that's an admittedly a little bit of a provocative question. And so to kind of steer us into the answer, let me move back one number in our catechism, okay? So we did catechism number 35. Let's do number 36. The question in the catechism, number 35, is since we are redeemed by grace alone through faith alone. Now, just to orient you, that's the gospel, right? If you're not tracking, that's the gospel. Redeemed by grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone. So since we are redeemed by grace alone through faith alone, where does this faith come from? Guys, as Christians, we have to ask these questions. We can't just blindly like say things and follow. And then when we're approached by our unbelieving friends that we're supposed to bear witness to, and they ask us these hard questions, we have to admit we've never thought about it. No, we've got to own these hard questions, and we've got to believe that the God of the universe wants to help us find the answers, right? So that we can bear witness in the same way that the Spirit does. So since we are redeemed by grace alone through faith alone, where does this faith come from? So the question is huge in the Holy Spirit's role in knowing and believing that Jesus is the Christ. So here's the answer the catechism gives. All the gifts we receive from Christ, we receive through the Holy Spirit, including faith itself. All the gifts we receive from Christ, we receive through the Holy Spirit, including faith itself. Now, all of the catechism question and answers are rooted in Scripture. Okay, so if you download the app, you read the question and answers, but there's tabs below where you can go and see where they're getting that. Because we don't want to put our faith in just human answers. They're getting these things from Scripture. And so let me point you to the Scripture for this particular question and answer. Titus chapter 3 should be on the screen, verses 4 through 6. Titus chapter 3. Listen, this is so good, guys. Paul writes to Titus, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth, rebirth. Some translations say regeneration through the washing of rebirth and renewal by who? By who? By the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us, whom the Father poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we see clearly in the Catechism, but more importantly, we see it in God's Word, that faith is a gift. We don't earn it. Amen? We can't earn it. We receive it. And for that, just to kind of illustrate this point, I want to point you back to Peter's own catechism. Do you remember Peter's catechism in Matthew chapter 16? You're going, what catechism in Peter? There was a question and answer, right? In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus looked at Peter and said, who do you say that I am? The answer to this question, Peter, matters. And he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But the conversation didn't end there. What did Jesus say after that? He said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. You weren't smart enough to figure this out on your own terms, Peter. It was given to you by my Father in heaven. So important. How does the Holy Spirit testify to us that Jesus is the Christ? How do we know? He does a regenerating work in our hearts. It's a supernatural occurrence that takes a heart that Ephesians chapter 2 tells us is dead in sin, and the Holy Spirit makes it alive and able to believe. In our sin, in our darkness, we cannot believe. But when the Holy Spirit invades our soul and regenerates our hearts, we can now believe. Amazing work. So again, just to be clear, what does regeneration mean? Fancy word, but think about the first book in the Bible. What's the first book in the Bible? Genesis. What does Genesis mean? Beginnings, right? So regeneration is just a re-genesis, a re-beginning, a rebirth. It means to be born again. Does that language sound familiar to us? Where do we read in John about that language? John chapter 3, right? You don't have to turn there, but there's an incredible interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was as religious can be. He was a Jewish man of the chosen people of God. He was a Pharisee, which means he was a smart dude that was skilled in the Torah. He was a righteous man. He followed the rules. Yet he started to realize that he couldn't muster up reconciliation to God on his own, that something was missing. And he saw in Jesus something different. He was seeing something in Jesus, the same way some of you are seeing something in Jesus. You can't explain it fully. You can't articulate it fully, but you come here Sunday in and it's Sunday out. You hear the gospel proclaimed and something is happening in your heart. And so Nicodemus, under cover of darkness at night, goes and finds Jesus. And he wants some alone time with Jesus to hear what Jesus has to say about what's happening inside of him. And what does Jesus say? John chapter 3, verse 3. He says, very truly, I tell you, he's looking at Nicodemus. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are what? Regenerated. Unless they are born again. Nicodemus says what you and I would say. How can someone be born when they are old? Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Isn't that good news? It's up to God. It's all on God. God does something inside of us. The Holy Spirit gifts us a new heart, and we respond. We have a role. We respond in faith. Now, this may just be nitpicky at words, but I like that word respond instead of choice. And we have a work. We have will. We have will to choose, right? But it's a response to God's initiating work. That's why we love to open up our Bibles on Sunday morning at worship. It's not that we don't talk. It's not that we don't sing. It's not that we don't fellowship. It's not that we don't preach. But we start with the Word of God, and our worship is a response to Him. Right? We get that from our salvation. So here's our little song again. Jesus is the Christ we know, for the Spirit tells us so. For the Spirit tells us so. So, simple invitation. I want you to look back on your life. If you are a churched person, if you have been a Christian for a long time, but this sounds new to you, you've gone to church, you've been a good person, but you're not really sure about Jesus being this Christ, this anointed one of God come to save you from your sin, look back on your life, and has there ever been a time where you found yourself believing that Jesus is the Christ? And if that's never happened for you, and something is happening today, it doesn't mean you have it all figured out, right? It doesn't mean that you can quote chapter and verse for every question that everybody has, but something is happening to you today. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is quickening you to believe. He's doing something in you, and he wants you to believe. So my invitation to you is this: Will you respond? With the Bible says repentance and faith. Will you choose to turn from lordship of your own life? We use that phrase a lot too, that where you're in control of your life. You turn from that. You say, I'm no longer in control. Jesus in control. And that's an act of faith, right? Because you don't yet know all the things that Jesus is going to call you to do. And let me tell you, some of them are going to be terrifyingly hard, but they're going to be all satisfyingly good. And so will you turn from lordship of your own life and profess, as Peter did, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Would you do that today? And if you do that today, or if you have done that before, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, I want you to be encouraged by what we've looked at about the Holy Spirit. I want you to be encouraged by the Spirit's testimony this morning. Why? Because this life is hard, right? There are hard things in this life. You're going to hear from William in a little bit about hard things that Christians are experiencing, where they're having to go, do I believe that Jesus is the Christ to the point that I'm willing to die for that belief? We have not experienced that here, right? We have not, but do you believe on that level? If you believe on that level, you can be encouraged because John told us in chapter 5 that you have won the victory. Amen? The victory has been won. Where? On the cross of Christ. When Jesus died on that cross to pay for your sin that you couldn't pay for, to pay for my sin that I couldn't pay for, the victory was won. So you can be encouraged that it's not that you are going to someday overcome the world. It's that God in Christ has already overcome the world. And we are just waiting for the consummation. We are waiting for the final victory cry. So you can be encouraged by that. And in the meantime, how do you know what to do, right? Like, okay, great. The Holy Spirit did something in me, and I really do believe, and I know that this life is hard. How do I know how to live? Well, let me just encourage you. You look the same place. I mean, what better place to look than to the one who regenerated your heart, right? You look to the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5:6, the Spirit is the truth. The Spirit teaches us how to obey, teaches us how to live. John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So guys, man, God is so good. In his Holy Spirit, he gives us new hearts so that we might believe. And it's a testimony that happens inside of us that we can respond to. But then he doesn't leave us alone to figure it out. Amen? That same Spirit guides us into all truth through the Word of God. The Spirit of God works in the people of God through the Word of God. It's why you understand Scripture in a way after you respond in faith, after you believe, than before you believed, right? It's why so many of you say, man, I went to church all my life, but I never heard the gospel until this one day. Let me let you in on a little church insider secret. You had heard the gospel a ton of times, right? But the Holy Spirit in his sovereign wisdom had not regenerated you yet. And so the gospel was falling on deaf ears until that day. And what a glorious day it was for you that you believed. So let me close with just three ways from God's word in light of what we've just learned, that Jesus is the Christ we know, for the Spirit tells us so, let me just close with three ways that we can live daily in the light of the Spirit's work of regeneration. And they're three P's. I apologize for that. I just can't help it as a pastor. I have to alliterate. It just comes. The first one is we praise God. It's not super profound, but highly important. We praise God because we daily remember that God saved us. You praise God because God saved you, right? And that means on Sunday mornings when we come together as a people, we collectively sing the praises of God. But it also means that whatever you do, whether in word or deed, you do it all to the glory of God, right? Your job that yesterday and last week and last month and for the last 10 years, you hated, right? You hate your job. You just do it to get a paycheck. It can be transformed. It can be redeemed. Redeemed into an act of worship to the God who saved you and provides for you. We praise God because he saved us. The second thing we can do, and this is no small thing, is we pray. And we pray in faith, in a God-given, Holy Spirit-empowered faith for God to save. Right? We talk all the time about inviting people to church, about sharing the gospel. And that can be so intimidating, but let me just remove the pressure from you. Yes, you need to do those things, but it's not on you to save them. It's not on your eloquence. It's not on your vast knowledge and wisdom. You start by praying in faith. God, you saved me. Will you save them? I pray that for my kids every day, right? My younger kids who don't yet believe. I daily pray, God, would you save Hazel? Would you save Prince? Would you save Melody? I know you can, God, because you saved me. So we praise God, we pray in faith, and we proclaim the gospel. Although the Spirit does the regenerating work, right? He calls us to proclaim the gospel. It's so crazy. Again, I'm going to try not to talk too long on this, but it's so crazy that God could save us any way he wants to, right? He could save you any way he wants to, but as we read his word, and when you look back at your experience, we realize that he saves us through the proclamation of the gospel. You heard the gospel from somebody, and you believed, whether it was through the witness of the word, right? Through the Apostle John, or whether it was through your mom or your grandma, you heard the gospel. What an honor. No pressure to get it all eloquent, right? You pray, God save, and then you proclaim, be saved, right? And then you trust the Holy Spirit to do his work. Jesus is the Christ we know. For the Spirit, that's how we know. The Spirit tells us so. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your good work. God, I pray for the person or people in this room who have never believed before. They've heard this so many times, but they've never believed, and today they believe. God, would you give them assurance? Would you help them to grow and know that we want them to grow with us? For the person who has believed for a long time, but is just stuck, would you help them to start with praise? Move to prayer. And God, someday, help them to find joy in proclaiming. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, thank you again for being here this morning. I'm going to invite William to come up on the stage, if he would. I think I have a microphone for him over here. And guys, what we talked about today is so important for what William does, because he works with people in really, really hard places where from human standpoint, can't do it. And we need the Holy Spirit's work. William, if you'll start just by introducing yourself before we talk about your ministry, just who are you? Where'd you come from?
Okay, I'm William. I'm from the Netherlands. I've married 3 children, 3 grandchildren, so I look much older than I really am. So I've I became a Christian when I was about 15, raised in a non-Christian family. And when I came home, my father said, "Oh, you joined the happy clappy people." And I'd never looked back. You know, my father wasn't very positive about it. But he went with me when I was baptized. And he said, "Now you're part of the hallelujah people." So, great. But 3 weeks before he died, a few years ago, he gave his life to Christ.
Amen. So
that was a good thing.
So you're from the Netherlands. Is that where you still live? Where do you live now?
I'm living in the UK.
Living in the UK.
Just returned from living in Iraq for 17 years.
Amen. And that's what I wanted you to just briefly tell about. And again, William is going to be out here after service to chat with you as long as you want, or until they kick us out of the building. So you can ask him tons of questions. But just as briefly, that's a big ask, but we've been partnering with Open Doors, Discovery Community Church. We give money, we pray. You can find information actually out at Connection Point about how to pray specifically for Centers of Hope. And William has been working with some of those things in Iraq. So just whatever you want to share, tell us what you do and how we might support.
Thank you. This was in 2014. We started, we were working with the churches, just happy serving them in whatever way possible. And then in 2014, we started to get these phone calls that the Christians have left and they've become refugees. So like 150,000 families on the run from ISIS. And ISIS already, that's Islamic militants. And they had already had a reputation of beheading heads, you know, and killing people. The region they just came from, they killed like 7,000 men and they kidnapped 7,000 plus women. So they had a bad reputation. So obviously the Christians ran because they're living in certain areas and they ran to the main cities for protection. So we have all these Christians initially living in the parks, in carpet houses. You know, we gave them some food, drink, and then we start building refugee camps for them because we didn't know when they were going to go back. So we build the refugee camps, initially the tents and then the caravans, like 4 by 8 meters, you know, and that's where the families lived. But we're asking the women in the camps, like, what is the worst time of day? And some women said, it's daytime, because I'm stuck in my house with 2 or 3 children and 4 by 8 meters. You can understand these children really get on your nerve. you love them. But if you had wallpaper, you would put them behind the wallpaper.
Amen.
You know?
My mic was supposed to be off.
So we realized it's difficult. It's really difficult. And they have really traumatic experiences. I walk through the camp, and one mother comes to me. She says, "Can you please pray for me and my child? Because my child, every time she hears a bang or a loud noise or a plane, she would run to me or dive under the bed because she's scared for bombings and so on." So we realized we need to do something for these people. And we started building the centers of hope. And hope and encouragement, we give them different names. But basically, in the middle of a camp, we bring all these people together. We get a big hall, and we do children's activities. We do women activities. We try to do men activities, but men are difficult to get hold of, you know?
Amen.
They just prefer to be on the street. But so we bring them together, and we do counseling. You know, with children, just very basic counseling about drawing and having them talk about the experiences. And when you see the drawings, it's all raining bombs on paper things, you know? So you can imagine what's in the head of a child. And then we're having counseling with women, you know, because some of the women, they have nightmare lives. We meet this one couple in one of the centers, and we go and we pray with people. We don't say we want to pray for you. We just want to listen to the stories and learn from them. Because if we go in and say, "I want to pray for you," it's like, who are you, you know? Why do you want to pray? And if you don't speak the language, just what are you praying? So we just stand with them, and they start opening up their stories. And this one couple came from Syria, and their teenage son was in a church, in a youth meeting. And he suddenly collapses. So what is wrong? So they take him to hospital. They couldn't find anything. In the end, he dies, and they find that there is a bullet hole. So through the church window, a sniper got his son. So you sit with these people, and you hear their story, and what can you say? You can't say anything. You can only sit with them and cry. And that's what we do in these centers. We just want to be with them, show that we're there with them, you know, and support them in any way possible. And when this family comes back to us and say, oh, need some counseling or something extra prayer, and then we are there. You know, then it's like, okay, come here, and we put the arm around them and we pray for them. One of the pastors, we teach the pastors too how to do the counseling, because most of these pastors, they come from seminaries, the Catholic seminaries or the Presbyterian seminaries, or these seminaries. And sometimes they miss out on some of the counseling, the very hands-on counseling training. So we bring them in and we teach them how to counsel. Again, one of the stories, we ask the pastor, what are the challenges in your life? He says, you know, what do you say to a teenager who gets slapped in his face because he's a Christian? Do you easily tell him, turn the other cheek? It's a nice theory, but when you're actually faced with the question, do you tell the guy to turn his other cheek? He says, what do you say to the father who had to carry his daughter without a hat, you know, to the graveyard? What can you tell them? And then, of course, we come with Bible things and you know, Jesus is really next to you. But it doesn't work at that time. The best thing then is that we teach you pastors and these priests that have got all the theory, just to be with them, you know, and listen to them and just cry with them. And they ask me, and they ask one of my bishop friends, how do you survive all these things and these stories? And this bishop was really nice man, very traditional, black clothes, you know, and a big cross on his chest. He actually gave me one of those crosses. He says, your stomach is big enough to stand there. So we asked him, how do you survive? And he said, well, basically, we cry more and we laugh more. You know, that's how you overcome all these things. Because if you just fill yourself with these stories, you know, it life becomes unbearable. So you have to laugh a bit. Mm-hmm. So this bishop comes to me in one of those centers, and he comes with this. His stick, you know, the bishops, whatever, that they hit the sheep with, I think. So I asked him, can I borrow your cane for a time? He says, why do you want to borrow my cane? He says, well, I go to Holland, and I got some people in the office that I want to hit over the head. He says, okay, you have half of it, and I take the other half because I want to hit some people too. You know, but you stand next to them, you them. And the next minute you laugh. Otherwise, you know, and I believe that is what Christ did. He was with us. And sometimes I think he sits up in heaven laughing about what we're doing, you know. Mm. And at the same time, he shows us his heart, a heart of compassion, mm. a heart full of love for us and the things that we do. Mm. And we like to take risks. We bring Bibles over the mountains into Iran, and it's not safe. We just heard 4 weeks ago, a teenage girl who became a Christian, her brother killed her because you don't become a Christian being a Muslim. So we see that. We see the other teenagers that have the same questions, like, they killed her. Do you want me to become a Christian? So what do you say? And in the end, it's, yeah, you know, and if it costs your life, it's a better future.
Yeah.
One of the bishops facing ISIS 3 kilometers away from them, he said, what will happen when ISIS, these Islamics, come to you? And he basically said, well, when they come to you, the other priests, they kill you very quickly. But when they come to me, they do it very slowly. Mm. And then he said, but I'm happy to die for Jesus. Mm. Happy to die for Jesus. Can you imagine? just to finish, just to finish off. Like, only recently I heard one of the statements from Brother Andrew, our founder. And my colleague, a few months ago, years ago maybe, he said in saying goodbye, take care to Brother Andrew, which is a very normal thing, you know, take care. And Brother Andrew says, no, 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 come back here, come back here. We don't take care. We take risks. Mm. Now, and that's what we want to do. We want to take risks to bring the Bible to the people we need. We want to run these centers in the middle of dangerous areas because we feel that the people need us. They need God's word. They need God's presence.
Amen.
So we're very pleased and thankful for your support in these mercy centers, the hope centers. Amen. And it's definitely been a good thing for the many Christians there.
Amen. Well, William, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for what you do. Can we pray for you?
Please.
I want to pray for him. I want to invite Nathan to also come up here. He's running from the back, maybe. And Nathan's going to come up here, too. We're going to pray for Nathan today, too. And as he comes, I just want to remind you, if you're a part of Discovery Community Church, if you're a guest with us today, just listen, learn. If you'd fill out that connection card and drop it in, that's all we want from you today so we can pray for you and get to know you. But if you're a part of Discovery, you know that every November we take up an offering for missions that funds everything that we do to support partners like Open Doors. And it's been a hard couple of years financially for the church, for everybody. And so we just wanted to use today to remind you, if you're in a position where you can give to our missions fund, you can do that online, you can do that in the offering box. But please do, we still need to fund that missions budget so that we can fund work like what William is talking about. So please give your regular offering as well. But if you can, if you feel led, please make a gift to our missions fund today too, because it will support this and other missions work as well. The reason I invited Nathan up is just wanted to pray for William, but Nathan's about to take off and go do some filming. You guys know that he's got many skills. You're not just the camera guy. But he's going to go do some filming work in support of what's going on around the world and trying to document what's happening in Ukraine as we pray for that. You want to say two sentences about what you're doing? Can you hand the mic to him, William?
Yeah, I think I'll be in Romania.
Romania.
As opposed to Ukraine, but just telling the stories of the Ukrainian refugees that are flowing into Romania.
Yeah. And then he couldn't be here today because he's actually gone, but many of you have gotten to interact with Yuri, who is our head custodian here at Lincoln, and he's a believer, and he is from Ukraine, and he is leading a team from his church. I think they're actually in Poland right now, and they're taking supplies in. And so I told him that we were going to pray for him this morning as well. So let's pray, and then we'll sing one more song before we go. Father, I just pray for these men. God, I thank you for their faithfulness and for the faithfulness of those they represent. I know William is on this stage and there are so many people that make happen what he's talking about. God, from smuggling Bibles into places where you would be killed for it to setting up centers of hope in refugee camps. God, Romans 12, weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. God, somehow, some way, make that possible through your Holy Spirit. I pray for Nathan as he goes. Would you not only provide and protect and care for him and use the work that he's doing to bring visibility and hope in the midst of darkness, but would you protect and care for Martha and the kids while he is away? God, would you help us as a church to know how to come around them? And we pray for Yuri as he is on the ground risking his life to get food and water to people who, like us, used to take food and water for granted and now can't get it. God, would you work? And in all these things, would you be glorified? God, make us a risky people. Would you, God, would you make us a risky people for your glory? God, make us a generous people for your glory. And Father, we pray that your kingdom would come, your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Let's sing, and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you, guys.
I might do Calvary.
where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior. Finish jamming a little bit, so you're welcome to keep jamming with us. But if you need to go, we know it's super late. Have a great week.